welcome once again to The Blueprint. It is Canada's Conservative Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Schmale, Member of Parliament for Halliburton, Kawartha Lakes, Brock, with new content every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We do appreciate you watching and listening to this program. If you can't listen to the whole thing now or watch it, you can download it later on platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, you name it, it's out there. We can together push back against the ever-moving liberal agenda. And because of that, we need you to like, comment, subscribe, share this program. Maybe there's someone in your social media network that might be interested in hearing the conservative message, something you might not hear from the mainstream media. This is the way to do it because it is Canada's Conservative Podcast. And we do have great shows lined up for you every single week, including this one. We have James Bazan. He's the Member of Parliament for Selkirk, Interlake, Eastman from the great province of Manitoba. He's also the Shadow Minister for National Defence. We do appreciate James joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show, Jamie.
Well, you are a friend of the show. You have been on before. We do appreciate your participation in the past and today because we have learned some pretty serious allegations that the defense minister may have been covering up alleged sexual assault within the higher echelons of the Canadian military, something he knew about many times and something the former ombudsman for the military brought up in committee. And the fact that that person tried to reach out to the minister and was just basically given the door.
Yeah, so last week at the Defense Committee, Gary Walborn, who is by far one of the most respected public servants that we've ever had, he was loved by the military and by veterans for the work he did as the National Defense Ombudsman, the work that he did as the Veterans Affairs Deputy Ombudsman. You know, he served in the Department of National Defense, he served in transport, he had a long and distinguished career, and, you know, he had no skin in this game to come back out of retirement because he left in, I guess, somewhat dismayed back in 2018 over what transpired when he went to Minister Sajjan to raise the issue of allegations of sexual misconduct against General Vance. And, you know, so what we learned is that March 1st, 2018, Gary Walborn sits down at a table with Minister Sajjan. And when he tried to present the evidence of the email that he had from the complainant, Minister Sajjan pushed away from the table. He refused to look at the evidence. And yesterday he was bragging in the House of Commons that he was a former police officer and he knew how to do an investigation. Well, guess what? I don't know of any cop or any buddy that is involved in looking at investigations that would turn away evidence. And here the minister pushed away from the table and refused to touch it. He's more interested in protecting his job than protecting the women and men who serve our country in uniform. So it's dismaying, it's disgusting, it's disappointing, you know, pick a D word here. And, you know, essentially we have a situation where the minister has failed to do his job. He has responsibilities under the National Defense Act. That is the management of the entire Canadian Armed Forces. The Chief of Defense Staff answers to him through as the National Defense Act lays it out. So the Chief of Defense Staff has to go to the minister. The minister is the only one that can discipline the top soldier. And here he completely and utterly failed to do his job. And of course, here we are 3 years later and only looking at it now.
So if the former ombudsman's testimony is true, if Mr. Walborn's testimony is word for word, as you mentioned, the defense minister is a former police detective. He should know a lot better. This information, if the timing is correct, if this is true, came out at the height of the Me Too movement. An investigation should have been started immediately. The defense minister should have known this. How he just delayed it and tried to cover this up is, as you said, disgusting.
Yeah, no, and you got to remember that he was also in the middle of his own little scandal over the description of Operation Medusa, that he was the architect. And also, right about that time, General Vance had suspended Vice Admiral Mark Norman because the Trudeau government were going after him for leaking cabinet confidences, which ultimately he was cleared for. So General Vance was doing a lot of the dirty work for the government, including on fake capability gaps and you know, backing up Minister Sajjan. So I figure there's a little quid pro quo there, and that they were trying to protect the chief of defense staff because of things that were going down. But, you know, at the end of the day, you have allegations of sexual misconduct here. We have women who are fearful of coming forward with any complaints that they have and bringing forward any evidence. And especially when it deals with the upper echelons of the Canadian Armed Forces, when your top commander is the one facing allegations and who has the ability to block any investigation if it goes through any other avenue. And so what Gary Walburn was did after that, and of course, you know, Sajjan went running to the Privy Council office. They contacted Gary Walburn the next day. They were trying to get the evidence, but he had sworn an oath to the complaint that he would protect her and maintain confidentiality. And he couldn't turn that evidence over unless he knew the minister was going to do his job. And that would have been, you know, opening a board of inquiry, having a supernumerary justice come in from the outside to do the investigation. They could have asked, as we saw with Admiral Art MacDonald, have the chief of defense staff step aside so that he couldn't interfere in the chain of command and allow the investigation to go forward underneath the provost marshal. You know, there's all sorts of avenues that are available to him, but all we got was that he pushed away from the table. So Sajjan talks the game that he has zero tolerance. Well, guess what? He took zero action. And for the last 3 years, he's been involved in a cover-up.
So according to documents tabled in the Defense Committee, which I believe you are the vice chair of, so it looks like the defense minister canceled 17 meetings with the former ombudsman, Gary Walburn, that it looks like these documents are tabled in committee, and it shows the ombudsman's calendar very clearly that it was the defense minister who did not want to deal with this issue or many others dealing with veterans or a whole slew of issues.
You're right, Jamie. And like, he has multiple areas that he's responsible for, and he reports as well to the defense minister. And so anytime he has to bring forward any grievances that military members have dealing with issues of, you know, wrongful medical release or misconduct and sexual misconduct, those issues he always takes to the defense minister. So 17 times Minister Sajjan refused to meet with him. After the March 1st meeting, Minister Sajjan never met with him again. There were 7 requests that came from Gary Walburn, and every single time Sajjan said no. And so this was at, you know, not at all serving the brave men and women in uniform. This is about his own personal agenda. And I think that that is a disgrace. And, you know, that type of shameful behavior brings dishonor upon the office of the defense minister. And we know that, you know, these allegations, Jamie, went right into the Privy Council office. They were talking back and forth. The former clerk of the Privy Council acknowledged today in the Globe and Mail that one of the memos circulating in the news now is that he was the one that was writing back and forth with Janine Sherman, who is the vice or the deputy secretary to cabinet. And they wanted to put things in writing. So, you know, there's memos drafted, there's briefing notes, and I'm sure that they went right to the top of the Prime Minister's office, because we know one of his top aides, Elder Marquis, was also briefed on this by Mr. Sajjan's chief of staff. So, you know, there is just so many connections that Trudeau had to know, and now he, of course, has confidence in his Minister of National Defense, who has, you know, yesterday being International Women's Day, he failed to stand up for women in the Canadian Armed Forces.
Now, according to the National Post, this is written a couple of days ago, March the 5th. It's basically calling what's going on in the federal government a culture of secrecy within the Trudeau government. And we've seen it on a whole bunch of issues, whether we're talking about quarantine hotels, whether we're talking about vaccine procurement. They still won't release documents that many other countries have done within their structure, showing the citizens what exactly they've agreed to, the taxpayers. And we're seeing it, as you mentioned, with Mark Norman. We've seen it with our fighter jets, as you talked about earlier, the capability gaps that were basically created by General Vance and others. This is just an ongoing it just seems tidal wave of diversion and just trying to hide from the truth.
You know, it's a deception at its purest form. It's common throughout the Trudeau government. And unfortunately, you know, Minister Sagin is taking a page right out of Trudeau's playbook here. And, you know, it is a failure of duty. It undermines the confidence and trust that members of the Canadian Armed Forces have in the minister. And because of his actions, the confidence of Canadians in our armed forces as well is being shaken to its core. So this has been very difficult on the morale of our troops, because they all take an oath to protect us, and the minister has failed to protect them. And so it's our job as parliamentarians to get to the bottom of this. We don't want to, you know, politically interfere in the military investigation that's taking place right now. We want them to get to the bottom of what's happened, both from the standpoint of General Vance as well as Admiral MacDonald. We want to ensure that there is justice for all, but the policies, the procedures, and the cover-up need to be fully investigated by Parliament. And at the end of the day, I don't know how Minister Sagin can continue on in his job, but the way he can do it is because Justin Trudeau has confidence in his minister.
Do you see the minister resigning? Do you think there'll be the prime minister seeing that there was some serious errors made here, and they will be asking the defense minister to step down?
You know, what we're seeing is Minister Sagin's denying any wrongdoing at all, and of course, as long as he has the support of Justin Trudeau, they're going to continue on with the cover up. They're going to do everything in their power to try spin this story, including like they're calling they referred it to the Privy Council office to do the investigation. Guess what? The Privy Council office is not the RCMP. The Privy Council office is not CSIS. They're not like the FBI. Like, they have no investigative powers at all. They're just the nucleus of the bureaucracy of the civil service here in government in Ottawa. And, you know, the deputy ministers all report into the Privy Council office. So when the clerk of the Privy Council office is asking to put things in writing, when you have correspondence going back from the minister's office, as well as from the deputy minister's office into the PCO and up into the PMO, you know, everybody's implicated here in not getting to the bottom of this and making sure that the right steps were taken so that we could address sexual misconduct, you know, head on. We have a program in the military called Operation Honor, and General Vance was the in charge of making sure that sexual misconduct was dealt with appropriately and quickly. And yet here he's caught in a scandal, and the minister is giving him full coverage in this cover-up. It makes my mind spin, looking at how much evidence has already been brought to light, how many complaints of sexual misconduct and allegations have been brought forward on these top commanding officers, and that we still have a defense minister that's sitting on his hands.
Now, this is just another step in, I think, how the Liberals have been treating the veterans and the military. We all remember that town hall meeting where that veteran, I believe, from Edmonton stood up and asked the Prime Minister a very serious question. And he basically came back with, veterans are asking more than what Canada can give, which we all know was absolutely horrible. And the fact that he was never called out properly, I think, from the media and others for that comment, that says a lot. But also the fact that we're having issues with, we still haven't had an agreement on fighter planes yet. Our naval procurement and our shipbuilding is in trouble. We can't seem to get proper firearms for our military. And the list goes on. The Liberals are failing our Canadian military every step of the way.
Yeah, and it goes right to the top. It's just pure incompetence. And as long as they dither and delay, the cost of procurement goes up. Every time that we see a stoppage in the design phase of our surface combatants, you know, it increases exponentially by billions of dollars. We see with the fighter jet program is that now, you know, the minister is looking at the bids that came in. months ago, and he's still trying to analyze. And everybody knows what these fighter jets can do, and I know that they got a scoring, but that is a relatively straightforward process to look at, you know, what the fighter jets' capabilities are. Do they meet the statement of requirements of the military or Royal Canadian Air Force put forward? And, you know, how does the industrial technical benefits come back to benefit the aerospace industry here in Canada? So, you know, there's things that have to go, the process you go through, but my gosh, you know, we're sitting with a fighter jet force that is very antiquated. It's way past its due date. It's supposed to be retired before 2025, and right now they're not talking about buying a new fighter jet until 2032. And you know, as much as Minister Sage and I talk about this capability gap that we don't have enough fighter jets, and that's why he went with 88 fighter jets and bringing in these old used Australian fighter jets, he can't find the pilots to fly them. You know, we have under 60 fighter pilots at this point in time. And so how are we going to put these planes in the air? We don't got people that want to join the Royal Canadian Air Force. And yeah, I tell you, recruitment's going to be a lot more difficult as long as we leave these liberals in charge of defense.
James, I know you got to go. You got question period coming up very shortly. I always give the guests the last word, so the floor is yours.
Well, you know, Jamie, I just appreciate what you're doing and doing the blueprint. But I know that as we drive forward, you know, we've got our convention coming up here with our leader, Aaron O'Toole, and then we're going to be coming forward with platform as soon as this election gets called, whether it happens this spring or it happens in a year from now. We are developing policies that will position our party in a great light to be there to you know, provide the tools, the equipment, the training, and maintain the operational readiness of the Canadian Armed Forces is famous for, as well as recognize the great work that they've been doing. The men and women in uniform have done this incredible job in Operation Vector and Operation Laser, and making sure that all of us are getting vaccinated in a timely manner, making sure the logistics are taken care of, and still being on guard to defend us from whatever threats that may be, whether it's, you know, natural disasters domestically of floods and forest fires, or, you know, having to go on international operations like we do in Ukraine, our NATO presence in Latvia, and so many other places around the world like Afghanistan that we have done in the past, or Iraq. So, you know, they're ready to be deployed. They are the best of the best, and you know, we deserve to do the best for them since they always are standing on the wall to protect us.
Thank you very much, James Bazan. You're a strong advocate. You're a great critic and also a strong voice for your constituents back in Manitoba, in Selkirk, Interlake, Eastman. We do appreciate that and all the work you're doing keeping this Liberal government in check.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thanks for joining us, and good luck in question period. Remember, new content every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Please like, comment, subscribe, share to this program. And also, if you can't watch it or listen to it right now, you can download it later on platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, you name it. It's out there. Together, we can push back against the ever-moving Liberal agenda. And of course, remember, as always, low taxes, less government, more freedom. That's the blueprint. Thanks for watching.